Good morning and welcome to The Breakfast Show. You're listening right across Australia on 87.6, 87.8 or 88 wherever you are on the Faith FM network. And this morning you're joined by myself, Lawson, and sitting across from me I've got my good friend Joseph. Joseph, how are you going this morning?
Lawson, I am doing well. How are you doing?
Oi, I was not doing well, like about an hour ago. Because I get up at just before, well, I get up at like 5:20, 5:30, but then just before 6, I head on down to the pool and go for a swim. And I was feeling so nauseous. I don't know why. I was just like, some reason I just wasn't feeling it. And I texted my friend Michael. I'm like, hey bro, I'm going to miss this morning. I'm going to skip, which is kind of sad. I usually love jumping in the pool and doing my laps.
I'm glad that you have a very healthy lifestyle. And I'm wondering if our listener today, how are you doing today?
Yeah.
I hope that you're doing well.
Yeah.
As you are preparing breakfast for your family, yeah. As you're just waking up, as you're going just like Lawson to have a bit of a swimming yeah. lap session, or if you're driving somewhere, maybe driving to work, whatever you are, we are here to make your day better. We are here to bless you.
Absolutely.
We are here to talk from disciple, to talk about how would Jesus yeah. live in this planet right now, yeah. this crazy planet that we live.
You know, I was just thinking, I'm like, would Jesus wake up early in the morning? We know he would wake up early and stay up all night to pray and do positive, beneficial things like that. I'm like, oh, would he wake up early to exercise? But at the same time, like at that time in Earth's history, exercise was so incidental, right? Like they were walking everywhere. They were carrying and lifting things. You know, being a carpenter up until he was 30 would have made him pretty fit because no power tools back then. It was just everything's just hammers and hands and strings and whatnot.
Absolutely, Lawson. You know what? Proverbs 8:17 says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me early shall find me.
Amen.
So I'm pretty sure that Jesus was an early riser. Mm-hmm. And the best thing we can do as we rise, guess what? Is to seek God's voice.
Well, coming up in today's show, we're going to be talking about marriage. We're going to be talking about all kinds of interesting news that you'll want to stay tuned to. We're also doing an interview with John Ashton talking about the gut and how it functions and continuing our Bible study in the Psalms, considering our praise of the Lord.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
And we'll get into our first quiz question of the day. If you can get that for us, please, Joseph.
First quiz question of the day, Lawson. To whom did Paul greet with this charming salutation? Mm-hmm. The bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother.
Wow. That is a charming
salutation. Something you can say to your close friends. The bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee. Brother.
DJ Rach is losing it. She's we've got Rachel in the studio this morning doing
By the way, we haven't
job.
Said good morning to you, Rachel Humphreys. Welcome.
She's doing well.
Morning team.
That's so good. The bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Can I ask you a question? Do you know what the word riz means?
Riz.
R-I-double-Z.
R-I-double-Z. No, I do not know.
So this
enlighten me, Lawson.
This is a young person word, and it's kind of the word that's associated with, like, you know, maybe in older generations, like game, or basically the ability to, like, talk smoothly and whatnot, to have, like, someone maybe of the opposite sex or whatever, like, interested in you, or, you know, just like a smooth-talking, like, charismatic person. They call it, it's short for charisma.
Riz. Okay.
You know, and but usually it's related to dating, but people can just, like, yeah, you know, you can have riz and you just smooth words and just charismatic. And my question is, like, the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Is that a sentence that, you know, comes off with a lot of riz? Like, it's like, oh man, someone would say that and it's very charming, very, very charismatic.
Well, unless you are some kind of gut health professional, I wouldn't be wanting to listen to that.
Okay.
From anyone. That being said, if you do know the answer, to whom did Paul greet with this charming salutation? Who did he say it to? You send us your answer to 0491-064-669. I'll repeat, 0491-064-669. And just to give a little bit of an explanation, and what is this doing in my Bible? Well, in those days, to feel something in your bowels is in your gut, is in your emotion. So another translation, perhaps a little bit more friendly to the 21st century Aussie person, is the emotions, the feelings of the saints are refreshed by the
okay, which is cute.
Yeah,
but
it's
But he had to say bowels, which is, you know, again, it was a different
time. So when you look in the Bible and you see it's written, Jesus felt compassion for these people. This is how we translate in a lot of Bibles. The actual Greek is Jesus felt moved in his insides and his bowels for these people.
That is powerful. That, dude, that is amazing.
You know, when you have that gut feeling.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Yes. So that's, if you know the answer, please do send us to 0491-064-669. We are looking forward to hear to whom Paul addressed that unusual, however, quite profound, I would say, greeting.
And of course, our prize for this week, God Cares, the 2-volume set of Daniel and Revelation, the message of Daniel and Revelation for you and your family. These are devotional slash, they're devotional books. They are, you know, getting into commentaries as well on these amazing books of the Bible that are life changing. You know, people hearing the messages of Daniel and Revelation, seeing that Jesus loves them, has given them a future and a hope. Of course, I'm quoting Jeremiah there. But Daniel and Revelation really getting into prophecy, what is going to happen. It is powerful. These are powerful books. They are life-changing. And these books, God Cares, will be amazing for you. And I love that it's also for the family as well. And that's something that I've found. You know, for my first time I ever studied the book of Daniel and Revelation, I would have been just 17 years old. Still a young guy. But really, like, opening the books of Daniel and Revelation changed my life.
It is fantastic. You should get this book. But Lawson, I want to hear, do you have any good news for us today?
I have some good news this morning for you and others, potentially. Joseph, this is coming from the United States. And marriages in the United States have surged past 2 million nationally for the first time since 2019. Now, COVID obviously took a big toll on the marriage industry, but we could already see the decline of marriages or the marriage rate in the United States before then. In fact, 2018 was, and this is, we're talking, you know, a couple years before COVID, no effects of COVID, you know, no one was sitting there in 2018 thinking COVID is going to happen. But at that time, we saw the lowest marriage rate in the United States in their history.
How was it?
Yeah, so it was like around, like at the time in terms of a percentage, I think it was around 1.6 million people. It was, yeah, less than, I believe, 6%, like a 5.8, 5.7% marriage rate. And so incredibly low. And this persisted then through COVID, throughout COVID. And, you know, to the point where every year they were having, you know, whether it was 5.6, 6%, 6.1%, you know, these kinds of marriage rates, incredibly low, up until 2022, where we saw the marriage rate, you know, go over 2 million people again, and lots more people getting married. And what was interesting to see is that, yeah, the states, the top five states that held these the highest marriage rates, so Nevada maintained its status as the state with the highest marriage rate at 25%. And I was thinking, why does Nevada, where Las Vegas is, have the highest marriage rate? And then I remembered that, like, so many people go to Las Vegas to get married. Like, that is the place where you can go to just get hitched overnight, you know?
That's right. Lawson, look, this is very good news, per se. However, there's a caveat. Because sometimes, you know, headlines, they need to sell. We need to sell. And this is something worth celebrating. You know, marriages have positive impacts on society. It has positive impacts in the health of people.
Absolutely.
I am, Lawson and Rachel, I'll tell you this. I am an enthusiast of marriage.
Amen.
This year, we'll be celebrating, my wife and I, 10 years together.
That's amazing.
And we are very happy. And each day, I love my wife more than the day before. So this is great.
Awesome.
Rachel, how long have you been married for?
19 years, just this past January.
Oh, wow, she's
19 years.
She is a professional.
This is amazing. And I actually want to ask you, our listener, how long have you been married? And if you haven't been married and you're looking for someone, let us know too, because we can pray for you that God will find the right person for you. Lawson, is dating now, and it's great.
Yeah.
Did you pray? Did you pray to God to help you find a girlfriend?
My friend, did I pray? Oh man, begging on my knees. And I mean, like, I say that a little bit facetiously, but really, you know, when it came to getting in the relationship that I'm currently in, very much doing my due diligence in prayer. I think it's always a good general prayer to say, hey God, like, bring someone into my life that will be a blessing to me.
And you know, when I was getting married, I prayed to God every day. I would say, God, please help me find someone that loves Jesus more than I do.
Wow.
Please help me find someone that is intelligent and is pretty as well.
Mm. Wow. You know? And mate, you're ticking boxes. That's awesome.
I'm ticking boxes. God did. And I encourage everyone who's looking for a partner, for a wife, for a husband, to pray the same thing. The Bible says that a good wife or a good husband is a gift from the Lord. This is not something that we can get with human wisdom, guys.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I can even say, like, in my experience, you know, in the dating scene that I've been in for a little bit, and I'm dating right now, and I've dated girls beforehand, and that was a real shift in my life, especially coming from a background, like, growing up not in the church, not only not in the church, but coming from a divorce background as well, with my parents are split up. Dating and what that looked like was quite warped from, I think, the biblical sense of what you're actually looking for. And even when I first became a Christian, I dated a few girls in the beginning of my Christian journey when I was like 18, 19, and those relationships were terrible. Like,
yeah, you know, Lawson, one of the great things about, you know, dating someone that loves the Lord and loves you especially is that this is one person that not only you will have the privilege of loving the rest for the rest of your life and getting to know them, but they will love you. And loving sometimes includes people saying the truth. And I'll tell you this, there's no one that I trust more than my wife. She will tell me the truth whenever I'm doing, and you know, this is great because she's helping me to become a better man every
day.
So if you have been married for 1 month or 100 years, please do send us a message to 0491-064-669. Let us know. We want to shout out those who are married. And those who are not married yet, we'd like to pray for you. Here we have some messages here. Wayne told us that 25 years seems like yesterday since we got married.
Yeah.
Well done. Congratulations to you, Wayne. God bless you.
Janelle as well, 25 years this October.
25 years.
Man, we've got some experienced guys in our text line.
I wonder if we have any listeners that are married for more than 25 years, Lawson. Do we have anyone with 30 years?
Yeah.
40 years?
Well, that longer than I've been alive? If you do, 0491-064-669.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM. Positively different.
And let's get into our next quiz question.
Okay, quiz question number 2. In the parable in Matthew 25, how many of the 10 virgins were foolish? So that's a number. Text, if you know the number of how many out of the 10 virgins, how many were foolish, text your answer to 0491-064-669. Out of these 10, how many of them were foolish? And of course, how many would be wise? But we want to know how many were the foolish ones. That being said, Lawson, I am feeling guilty. I'm feeling guilty in my bowels.
Why is that?
Because number one question was so hard today. You know, to whom did Paul address? Well, I do not want to give you guys the answer. I don't want to give our listener the answer. However, let's give some tip.
Okay.
All right. Now, if you go to a restaurant and you want to order a steak, like a filet mignon, is there any book that kind of resembles that?
A filet
mignon.
Maybe
one of these small books somewhere in the Bible.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Man, we are really helping our listeners today. Hey, 0491-064-669. Again, that second question was how many of the virgins were foolish? And that first one, the little clue that we gave there, you know, who does he greet with that interesting greeting? Yeah, it sounds similar to filet mignon. If you know the answer, 0491-064-669. And of course, our prizes for today, God Cares, the 2-volume set, Daniel and Revelation, powerful messages from these books. So that will be a blessing to you and your family and your future.
Now, before we go to our another new segment, I just wanted to say something here. Because I asked, did we have any listeners who were married for over 25 years. And guess what? Our chat has become a competition, a healthy competition of who has been married for longer, which is great. I am so elated to see all of that. So who do we have here?
So we had Janelle and Wayne. They said 25. Then Jackie comes in, just storms in with 35.
35. Well,
solid
done.
35. Hope writing in, Kelvin and I will be married 29 years this
That's
September.
Amazing. Congratulations.
Suzanne, just behind, and 28 years married, 3 kids, and over that time, 7 dogs. Man, yeah, absolutely. Family dogs, spending some time hanging out. Got Bruce and Liz as well. 30 years.
30 years.
Of blessed marriage.
May God bless you, Bruce
but,
and Liz.
Well, this is more of a secondhand testimony that we've got here from Wayne. Of someone who gets on his bus, who's been married for 40 years.
40 years.
Yeah.
Wow. I think that's so
pretty
far,
serious.
This is the record. 30, or from our listeners, the record so far is 35 years. I'm wondering if we have anyone that is married for over 40 years. Because we could interview them.
Yeah. Ask
and
them about what that's
ask
like.
Ask them about what is the secret of success.
The secret
of their
sauce.
Marriage.
Which is, oh man, it's something that, you know, as a young person as well, like looking around, you know, I'm really blessed in the relationship I'm in right now. We're, you know, going down that road and then seeing what happens. And it's like amazing. But then, you know, those questions crop up in my mind. It's like, oh, why did my friends get divorced? Why did that happen? And so,
yeah, so that's good. It's good to have good role models, Lawson.
Right.
And I also want to ask one thing as well, because I'd like to ask Rachel to participate one more time. Rachel, you said that you do something for your kids, and I'd love if our listener could listen to that as well.
Yeah, you were talking before about praying for that partner that God had in mind for you, and I guess that's something I've been doing for many years for my kids. I have 3 daughters, and I pray constantly that they will meet someone that loves Jesus and that loves them. And even though they're very young, it's something I pray over their lives continually.
Absolutely. It's great. Look, you know what, Lawson, I'll tell you this thing. If one person loves Jesus, it's the only predictor that they will actually love you as well. Because Jesus just so happens to be the source of love. We cannot love from an empty cup. We need that cup to be filled. And I believe, in my experience, that Jesus gives me the love, the patience that I need to be a better husband and a better father to my kids as well. What do you think? If Jesus has been a blessing to you, let us know. Send us a comment to 0491-064-669 and let us know. Give us a little brief testimony of how Jesus has helped your marriage. We would love to listen and to hear from you.
Absolutely.
But now I'd like to go to our next current affairs section. And unfortunately, this is not a positive news, Lawson, but it needs to be talked.
Absolutely.
We need to speak about even difficult things together. You know why this show exists, Lawson? We know why do we exist as Christians?
Well,
to make disciples.
That's right.
This is what Jesus told us to do, to teach others about the things that Jesus have given us. And we do so by various ways, including by loving people. Because I have a tragic news from the United States where President Joe Biden pronounced himself about the very sadly passing of a young person called Nex. And what happens there is that that young person who was only 16 years old decided to end her life.
Yes, sadly.
And if you are triggered by this topic, I would like to encourage you to call Lifeline. Have a chat with these people. It's 13-11-14. You call them now. But we need to talk about, because what happens in the state of Oklahoma is that that person, Nex Benedict, who took her life, it was as a result of bullying.
Yeah, wow.
In the schools.
Oh, that's terrible.
So the incident, as the as we were told, she went to the bathroom one day and 3 other girls were making fun of her, of the way that she dressed. And that as a result of that, she that same night she ended up deciding to to take her life. Now, President Joe Biden came, and after the report that was confirming the cause of death was released, he said that Nex Benedict, a kid who just wanted to be accepted, should still be here with us today, he said in his statement. And I agree with him. Non-binary and transgender people are some of the bravest Americans I know. But nobody should have to be brave just to be themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, Lawson, we are called to be the salt of the earth. Jesus called us to love everyone. He even says, you know what the ancients have spoken about? Love your friends and hate your enemies. But I, Jesus said, I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Mm. Irrespective, of what we believe, if we agree or if we disagree with someone's lifestyle, as a disciple of Jesus, we should never allow oppression to exist. Mm. As followers of Jesus, we should never allow people to be oppressed for whatever reason, the color of their skin, their sexual orientation, whatever that is. We, as the followers of Jesus, we should be following exactly what Isaiah says. In Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 17, it says, learn to do good, to correct oppression, to reprove the ruthless, to defend the orphan, and to plead for the widow. Mm. The orphan and the widow are two categories that often appear in the Bible. You know why? Because they're vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And Jesus, God says that he himself is the defender of orphans and widows. And we, as his followers, are to be so too. So I'd like to encourage you, if you are listening to this and you witness any kind of oppression in your workplace, you know, when people gather around and they start saying, telling jokes, perhaps they're telling jokes about women, about the way that they dress, or about the way a certain person looks or walks or even believes, doesn't matter what it is, as Christians, we have a duty in saying, this is not right. Mm. This is not right, guys. I will not, I will not accept that you're talking about a human being behind their back like this.
Yeah. And I think in this case, we have talked about transgenderism and particularly in children on the show before and highlighting the fact that, we very much don't agree with this lifestyle as something positive, positive or biblical, and we've made it clear, we can see, I think, particularly regarding how treatment should take place and whatnot, and some of the altercations that have happened in the legal system because of, families and some of the awful situations that have unfolded. But then the solution isn't then to just bully this person, or beat them into not expressing themselves in that way. The solution is to show them the love of Christ, yes, with the hope and the prayer that they would make the decision to take on a godly lifestyle.
I believe, Lawson, that we are called to be the people of love, irrespective to whom, even to the worst of our enemies. Mm. And of course, transgender people are not enemies at all, but even if our enemies should love like this, how much more so? We need to stand up for those who are being oppressed.
You're listening to the Breakfast Joe podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
And right now we're going to get into our next quiz question. If you can give that for us, please. My good friend, Joseph.
Lawson, to whom did Onesimus become son to in bond while in imprisoned? So who was Onesimus, Lawson?
He was a slave.
He was a fugitive slave of a man called Philemon, which very interestingly sounds a little bit like filet mignon.
Hey, we're giving all the clues this morning.
Oh, are we?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even realize that, Lawson. But I'll tell you this. He fled in Rome and he becomes a friend to someone, and he becomes like a son to someone. Mm-hmm. Who was that person who then told Onesimus to go back to his master and to be a brother's with him. This is a very interesting, very touching story. And if you know whom Onesimus became a son to, you text your answer to 0491-064-669. So one more time, to whom did Onesimus become a son to while in imprisonment? 0491-064-669, who embraced that who formerly was oppressed and loved him into Jesus' arm. This is what we want to know from you. But now, we would like to welcome Dr. John Ashton into our program. Dr. John, how are you today?
Yeah, really great. I'm up at Byron Bay at the moment, just overlooking the beach here.
Not a bad place to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. The surfies are already out. People are coming to the beach.
But Dr. John, we want to know one thing. Is it true that we are more microbes and bacteria than humans? What is that story about? Tell us a little bit about the microbiome and the importance of that into us.
I guess that's just a thing. Number of different microorganisms in our body, and when we compare the number of cells that make up all our bones, liver, heart, skin, and so forth, there are actually more bacteria than there are cells. But of course, in terms of mass, there's more of us. So
I'm glad to hear that.
Well, of course.
But it looks like that we have a lot of friends, bacterial microbiotic friends inside of us that are actually pretty helpful to us. Can you tell us a little bit of why these beings are actually good for us, or should we just take antibiotics and get rid of all of them?
Okay, so they play quite a role in processing some of the nutrients that come through our body and converting them into forms that our body can use.
Okay.
So let me give a classic example of this. When we eat soy food, for example, soy in them have compounds that were originally called phytoestrogens. Now, they're not really estrogens. They're simply compounds that bind to estrogen receptors.
Okay.
So they have, part of them has a similar chemical structure, but they don't actually act as estrogen in terms of the female hormone. But they do play a role, for example, in binding to being involved in the calcium cycle in our bones and this sort of thing, so they can help build healthy bones. Now, when we eat soy, some of these compounds or particular ones come in a form that's not very bioavailable. But some people have just the right bacteria that will actually convert those phytoestrogen compounds into a compound called EQOL. And EQOL has been discovered to play a very important role in bone health. It strengthens our bones. There's evidence it can play a role in male health in preventing prostate cancer. It has a number of anti-cancer factors as well. But one of the fascinating things is that people who are vegetarians and have a plant-based diet, which is naturally high in fiber, have a much greater chance of having the right bacteria that will actually do this conversion and make this more bioavailable. And so some interesting studies were actually done by a Finnish scientist in Helsinki back in the late 1980s and 1990s. And he showed, for example, that a vegetarian diet compared to a diet high in meat results in different types of bacteria in our gut. And one of the fascinating things is that the bacteria that are cultivated more on a high meat diet produce compounds that are associated with an increased risk in cancer. In other words, a lot of their byproducts are compounds that are involved in chemical reactions that upregulate cancer genes and this sort of thing. Whereas the people on the plant-based diet that produce bacteria, and a lot of the times these bacteria produce compounds that actually down-regulate or actually upregulate cancer protective genes and downregulate cancer stimulating.
Wow.
It was quite fascinating. I just can't remember the guy's name his name started with A, but this morning. But yeah, it was quite a famous researcher. Did a lot of research up there, published quite a few papers, and of course, it's quite fascinating that at the Charles Perkin Institute at the University of Sydney, which is one of the major medical research institutes associated with the University of Sydney. You've got the Garvan as well. But at the Charles Perkin Institute, they do a lot of the nutrition research. And one of the fascinating things there that they've been looking at is the role of fiber in the diet and the importance of having a lot of fiber in the diet, which produces the more or less the food that our bacteria can use, particularly in the lower part of the digestive system, in the lower part of the colon. And some of the things that these bacteria produce are what we call short-chain fatty acids. And these compounds are produced in the bowel. Then some of them are reabsorbed, and they actually play quite important roles in our overall metabolic health of our body. And again, they also protect against, for example, the development of bowel cancer.
And so it sounds like increasing the intake of vegetables and plants in general and high fiber products means that we will have a better gut health, better microbes that will help us in various ways in our overall health. Is that right, Dr. John?
Oh, very much so. And it's quite fascinating that many people don't realize that animal products, meat products, don't have any fiber in them whatsoever. Mm. So they're totally fiber free.
Oh, wow.
And we get all our fiber from the plant foods, fruits, cereals, and grains and legumes. These are the foods that provide our fiber. Now, of course, there's different types of fiber, The classical things are the insoluble fiber, and that's the fiber that you get in your bran, like in your oat bran, in your wheat bran, this sort of thing. And of course, studies were done many years ago that for example, the oat bran can be high in a type of fiber we call beta glucans, and these can play an important role in helping to normalize the cholesterol levels in our body so that our cholesterol doesn't get too high.
And
that's the insoluble fiber. And then, of course, we have the more soluble fibers that these can play a role in, beta-glucans are soluble fiber, and they, again, play this role in helping to remove cholesterol. So we have the roles of the different types of fiber, insoluble fiber, like in the brands. And, of course, some of these brands, they have a mixture of both soluble and insoluble fiber.
I have a question, John. We're saying here that, you know, our plant-based foods are what is providing us this necessary fiber, which, as you said, you know, fights against, you know, gut cancer and colon cancer, all these different things. There are some people who advocate for even a completely like non-plant-based diet, like a completely carnivorous diet. I'm plant-based myself completely. But these people are, you know, arguing for this, and it's like, oh, it's high protein, and even people claiming to see some positive benefits from that. Is that even really possible? How are they able to claim that they're receiving some kind of positive benefit, but you're saying here that, oh, there's no way that you can because of the lack of fiber that's in that diet?
Well, what happens is that meat is essentially protein and fat, so there's no fiber there. Mm. There's also no sugars and these sort of things. So sometimes people get involved in these diets sort of, they're very good diets for losing weight. Mm. They're good diets for, there's a certain claim, yes, that they may help prevent against diabetes and these sort of things, but only in the very, very short term. So people lose weight in the short term. But what happens is excess protein becomes toxic in the body.
Yes.
Mm.
And we begin to get negative effects. The other thing is that what we have is in our blood, we have a,
a pH balance. That's or acidity, alkalinity balance, and that has to be very carefully controlled. Now, meat products are all what we call acid. They're very high in protein. Protein has high levels of nitrogen and phosphorus, sulfur, these sort of compounds that all become acids in our body. Once they're oxidized, they become acids. And in order to balance out the pH then, because this changes and makes our blood tend towards acidity, our body has to neutralize that by taking the calcium from our bones. So generally, people on a very, very high protein diet will eventually have problems like osteoporosis.
Oh, wow.
This sort of thing.
So, so Dr. John, if I want to prop up my gut health, other than eating more plants and less animal products, what else can I do? Do probiotics actually help, the ones that you can buy at the chemist, at the shops, or is this all a fad?
Oh, no, no. The probiotics and the good bacteria is an area that people are researching at the moment, and they certainly seem to have improved effects. And it's quite fascinating. We know that certain probiotics, for example, can lower cholesterol. Studies have been done on this. And a lot of research is being done by different companies to find probiotics that can deliver health claims. We did some research once on a probiotic that seemed to be very effective in reducing acne. And, of course, that can be a real blessing to teenagers as their skins are going through those hormonal changes associated with adolescence, when we begin to develop new sweat glands and produce different types of body odors associated with adulthood. So, there's a lot of fascinating stuff being done with different probiotics. And then we've got the foods like kefir and quite a bit of research is being done in these areas. I remember sitting in a plane once next to a researcher at the American University in Lebanon, she was doing research with kefir and breast cancer. And they were finding that there were compounds in kefir that were very effective against combating breast cancer. The other factor is too that
that's fascinating, Dr. John. We are running out of time. That being said, I would love to invite you over again so we can hear more about the benefits of probiotic foods as well. That is very interesting, and our listeners are definitely going to get a better microbiome out of that. But we'd like to thank you so much for your participation today and for sharing with us your expertise.
Thanks for being a part of the Faith FM family. Join our community on Facebook or get in touch at 1-800-FAITH-FM.